For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though this is how we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. Let's share together in 1 Corinthians. For as often as we eat this bread at this time, we'll have an offering, and we'll lift that up in prayer. Something that I've thought about, I think deeply about, was children and children's ministry. Just reflecting on a season of ministry, VBS, and its importance in this community and in young people all around. We traveled to 3 different VBSs this year, and ours was the best. But my kids really got churched up this on this sabbatical, so they got a lot of VBSs in. But just the importance of ministry and caring for children and the next generation. You know, always being mindful of what are the paths that we are setting for the children who are following behind us. You know, Oliver and I, we went to the Sleeping Bear Dunes as a part of just being up north with my family. And we took a day to be tourists in northern Michigan. It's a great place to be a tourist. I was never a tourist up there, but I was just like, man, there's so many fun things to do. And so I took the kids there. And Oliver and Ellie, they were walking through the sand. And the sand there is just, I mean, it is so thick, but it's so beautiful. And the kids were following in behind me, and I was trying to make good paths that the kids could walk on. I hope and I pray that the future of Etna Green is about making firm paths in the ground for kids, that we would move forward in the next generation and the generation that follows. The children would be raised up to love the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind and all their strength, and that they would love their neighbor as themselves. That's my hope for the future of Etna Green, as we set firm footing down for children to follow after us. May we think about the next generation and the love that we want to have for them, a love that's rooted in Christ. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for salvation. God, I thank you for the many wonderful and beautiful children that we have, a part of our church family. And God, we know the importance of this time, that we would give of ourselves so that a generation would rise up. That, Lord, that we would give them a firm foundation to stand upon that's rooted in your love, rooted in faithfulness, and trusting in you and all, with all that we are. God, we know that the true cornerstone for any future generation will be a firm foundation on Christ Jesus. Lord, as we seek to build that, not just through financial giving, but through a devotion of time and energy, of gifts and talents and abilities, God, we want to bring glory and honor to you on this day and many years into the future. It's in Christ's name that we give this offering for its blessings and for its use for your kingdom and your glory. It's your most wonderful name we pray. Amen. And Children's Church is dismissed. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified and dead and buried. And I believe what I believe. It's what makes me what I am. I did not know. throw that spot on for me so I can read better? I can't read very well. Top to bottom, left to right, I got that, but that's all I get. All right. It's good to be back. So grateful to have just time away, and I'll kind of highlight some important thing at the end of my sermon. But for now, we're going to start a new sermon series. I'm calling it Abiding in Christ. Now, abiding is kind of a weird word because I think it's so strange because it's not something that we necessarily do all that well. It's a word that might be better defined as remain or stay steadfast in. It almost has like sort of connotations of faithfulness. And so it is difficult in today's very move from one thing to the next culture to really say, let's abide in something. But to me, the most important thing would be that each and every one of us, as we've grown to know Christ and love Christ, would be that we would abide in Him, that we would remain faithful to Christ, that as we come to be a part of a fellowship of believers, as we come to be a part of the church, that we would stay in Christ, that we would remain in Him. And that's pretty much the entire message of the book 1 John, that we would remain in Christ. John uses the word abide multiple times in a variety of places. It depends on your translation. If you use the King James Version, they use abide. If you have the NIV, it's remain. If you have the NRSV, it's abide. So they just kind of go all over the place. But that's the word. And the Greek word is, it sounds an awful lot like the word from the Muppets. And I think that's the reason why I like it. Menomena, you know? Menanon, Menanon, or something like that. And so I just think this is the Menomena series. So if you don't want to call it abide, you can call it Menomena. And but just so long as you remember, I already got shaking of heads. It took 30 seconds to get a head shake. All right. I'm going to start timing that from every week. See if I can get an even shorter time. What's the record I can get? But we are going to enter into this new series. And it's about abiding and remaining in Christ. Because I don't know that there's anything really of greater importance in sort of the uncertainty and the struggles that we faced every day. You know, if we've joined to be a part of the church, if we are wanting to pursue Christ with our whole life and our whole self, let's remain in Christ, stay steadfast in Him in faithfulness. Let's go ahead and get right into 1 John. 1 John is towards the back of the Bible. It's page 1129 in mine. I don't know if that helps you. It doesn't. I'm just kidding. All right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of God, word of life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. That's a calling card of God. He was the one that was there in the beginning. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. Take a moment and just consider how unfathomable, it is, how inconceivable that it is, that the one who was from the beginning, who created everything, they have heard, they have seen with their own eyes, they have looked at, they have touched with their own hands. Let that sink in, just how wonderful and incredible it is that Jesus Christ appears. In the flesh, God is with us, Emmanuel, and people experience Him, and this is what they do. We proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and we testify to it and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. They proclaim the life that has appeared. We've seen it and we testify to it and we proclaim to you eternal life. God did something when he showed up. And he offers this new life. And this is what they proclaim, is that Jesus Christ, through Jesus you are forgiven. Through Jesus you have new life. Through Jesus the kingdom of God has come. This eternal life, this good life is now available to each and every single one of us. John, the apostle, can proclaim to you, I have seen it with my own eyes, I have heard it with my own ears, I have touched his very skin, I have embraced him in my arms, and I'm telling you that there is eternal life in Christ, and this is ours. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard for this reason. Why does he proclaim it? So that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. Fellowship is a very popular Christian word. It's perhaps one of my most favorite words because it means that we probably get to eat together. The Greek word is a well-worn Greek word that you've probably heard a sermon on before. If not, that's all right. You'll get it now. The word is koinonia. I don't have a great way of saying it like the Muppets. We could say, I don't know. Anyways, koinonia. And the word is translated as fellowship. And we often think of fellowship as the sort of meeting together and eating together. And that's a great thing. But the root meaning of fellowship is that there is something that is shared in common. That is like a sort of shared thing. So you might have fellowship at the VFW. You might have fellowship at your alumni banquet. You might have fellowship at your graduation thing that you went to last night, Kim. You know, so you have these things that are held in common. The very distinct difference that is held of fellowship for us as Christians is that we hold together a belief about who Jesus Christ is. And so, abiding in Christ is about our fellowship together. It's the living bond that we hold as Christians who stand together in Christ. Our common union, our common fellowship is what we hold together and share in common about what we believe about Jesus. That's what unites us together, and that's what John is writing about. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. We want to teach you and remind you, whoever received this, we don't know who received this letter specifically, perhaps the church in Ephesus, but we really don't know for sure. But anyways, the recipients are being reminded, we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you will have fellowship with us. You'll have fellowship with God the Father, and you'll have fellowship with God the Son. That's really great company to be in. And that you share and you hold this common bond together in Christ. I want to take just a quick moment. Usually preachers save this part for the end of the sermon. But it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to put it at the end. It makes a whole lot more sense to say right now. In your sermon notes, I have a few questions. It says, how do you join the fellowship? And how you join the fellowship of believers is rather simple in design. And here are a few questions if you have not yet committed your life to Christ and to this fellowship. The questions are, do you love Jesus? And do you want to make him the leader of your life? Perhaps you've made that commitment earlier in your life and you find yourself here in the EGCC on a day long after that commitment. But is that an ongoing thing in your life? Do you love Jesus and you want to make him the leader of your life? We use fancy church words for this. We want to say we make him the Lord of our life or the King of our life. But in our modern context, it seems to make sense that we want Jesus to be the leader of our life, the one that would be the one that we would turn to each and every day, that we would speak with and say, Christ, where would you want me to go and what would you want me to do? And to actually make him the leader of your life would mean that we would actually listen and obey. And so do you have an earnest desire to do that, to make Jesus the leader of your life? Do you want to live that out together as a community of people known as the church? And that's what makes the fellowship the fellowship. That's what makes life together as the church so rich and beautiful, is a common commitment to make Christ the one that we live for and bring glory to. And so a part of saying, yeah, I want to follow Christ, is then we follow his design. And the way that Jesus laid this all out was to say, hey, we need to be a part of a church. We need my body represented here in this world. And the body of Christ represented in the world is the church. And so if you answer yes to that question, then also you need to consider, do you understand that we seek together God's kingdom as the first priority above all else? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus gives us clear instruction. He says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. We as a group of people who are saying we want to live for Christ, we're saying we want to live for his purposes in the world. Well, the fulfillment of God's purposes in this world, where God gets what God wants done in this world, is happening in Christ and his kingdom. We believe that Christ's kingdom has come. And we pray the prayer that Jesus tells us to pray. We pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And this prayer is not just something we're hoping for. It's something that we are praying that God would accomplish, and he would accomplish it through us. And so do you understand, and do you want to seek first God's kingdom together with us? Are you willing to learn about that commitment and focus? You know, you don't suddenly say, yeah, I want to do that, and then you got all of the answers and got everything figured out. And so are you willing to learn and grow? If the answer is yes to those questions, then you're well on your way to joining the fellowship. We believe that part of belonging is joining Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. We do that through believers' baptism. That is, that once you believe in Jesus, the proper response would be to follow him into the grave and come out of the baptism waters, a new life in Christ. And scriptures teach us, Acts 2:38, that we are to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we experience the forgiveness of sins, and we are anointed by God's Holy Spirit through believers' baptism. And so from then on, it is a new life in Christ, and you seek first his kingdom together with us. If you want to join the fellowship of believers, it's rather simple in design, but it's rather complex matter of the heart. Do you want to follow Christ with all that you are, and do so with a group of people committed to it? If you haven't been baptized, it's a big decision, and one I'd love to talk to you about. Just grab me anytime after church or any time during the week. And so the opening part of 1 John is about a fellowship that is shared, a fellowship of people who believe in Jesus Christ and are trying to live that bond together out as faithfully and as best as they can. Unfortunately, in the next verse, in verse 5, we see a problem already arise. For the people who have committed their life to Christ, the first part of this message was for those who perhaps need to make a decision about what's next in their life. The other part of this sermon is for those who have made a decision about being a part of the fellowship of believers and who have been given the most incredible gift of new life in Christ, who themselves have probably, if you're like me, I have tasted the goodness of God and I have heard from God, I have experienced new life in Christ, and it is an incredible gift. But unfortunately, as a Christian, I have also sinned. And I imagine that I am not the only Christian in the room who has sinned since their baptism. Ryan, is that a fair assessment? I know there's a couple perfect people out there. And so then there's this sort of ongoing thing of saying, okay, I had this incredible moment where it was so clear to me that I wanted to follow Christ. And then from then on, it's just been kind of like, why do I keep sinning? And when you deal with like young people at camp, so our week at camp, and you know, you offer an invitation, and there's inevitably a kid comes forward and they want to be baptized. And then you start talking to them, and you discover that they've already been baptized. In fact, they were baptized at last year's week at camp. And so then you're like, well, how did things go in the last year? And they're like, well, not very good, you know. And so then it's like they want to have another restart. And you made more sense this time. And it's like, well, you know, just because I made more sense now doesn't mean that you need to go back and redo it. But we have this sort of sense of what do we do with sin and what do we do with our commitment? And especially when we have the guilt and shame and suffering and we wonder, why do I keep sinning and why am I even going about doing this? And so we can either have this extreme guilt or we can kind of hit the other end of the spectrum and we just say, oh, that's who I am and that's just the way it's going to be and this is always the way that I behave. And we sort of give up on this sort of thing of what does it mean to abide and remain faithful to Christ? You made the commitment in earnest to follow him and to be a part of the church. But then what do you do with sin? And John sets out to tell us exactly what we need to know. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. I want to pause just briefly about John revealing something important to us about who God is and his character. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. From time to time you might see or hear people say and blame God for darkness and evil. I would simply point out John 1:1-5. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. That is to say that in God he is love. In God he weeps with us when there is suffering around us. God is a beacon of light and truth and hope and mercy and grace into our world. He is not the source for our evil and suffering. In God he is light and there is no darkness. He is the righteous one. He is not unrighteous. He is holy. He is true. If we claim then to have fellowship, verse 6, with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. It's like, thanks, John, for being very clear here. If we claim to have fellowship, if we claim to say, yeah, I'm a baptized believer in Christ and I want to seek first his kingdom, yet we still walk in darkness, we still walk in sin, we still deal with all of these wicked things, and we're just wondering, well, what in the world is going on inside me? We're lying and we're not telling the truth. We're not living in the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and we have fellowship with Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, his Son, and he purifies us from all sin when we walk in the light. And so the question is, what does walking in the light mean? Jared has a lot of flashlights. I think Jared could hook us all up and we just walk with a flashlight. That's dumb. What does walking in the light mean? He tells us. It's about exposing. What light does is it exposes what's hidden by the darkness. And there's a way in which we see that. And so the first part of John's message is that we stand together in Christ. And the second part of the message is that we will often fall. And the third part is, how do we stand up together again? And the way we stand up together again is this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we just get together and say, oh yeah, my life is perfect. I'm blessed today. And we put a little smile on our face. If we claim to be without sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we shine a little light on it, if we confess our sins, if we expose what's going on in our lives and the hurt and the suffering, and we expose, if we confess our sins, He is faithful, and He is just, and He will forgive us our sins, and He will purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate, the Father, with the Father, Jesus Christ, and He is the righteous one. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. What do you do when you fall? You ask for help. And you let Jesus know what you've done. And perhaps it means letting someone you know who's in the fellowship what you've done, that they can help you up. How do you walk in the light? It's as simple as conceding that you have sinned and that you need help in walking with Christ again. We stand together and we might fall, but there are people around us who want to help us up. Walking in the light is a matter of confession of sins, because we come before one who is faithful and He is just, and He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. To illustrate this, I thought about something dumb I did. Wendy dropped her phone in the toilet, and I thought, I can fix it. You know, I did the bag of rice thing. If you drop your phone in the toilet, put it in a bag of rice and Ziploc bag it, and hopefully it'll dry it out. Well, that didn't work, and so I thought, you know, I could do it on my own, and I read online and watched a YouTube video that you can put it in rubbing alcohol, and it takes away the corrosion, and then it dries out, and then the phone works again, and, well, that didn't work. So Renee Baker, she hooked us up with her old phone, and then but it had a broken screen, and so I swapped the screen out of hers, and I took Wendy's screen and I put it on Renee's broken screen one, and I fixed Wendy's iPhone, and this gave me a degree of confidence, thinking I can do all things. My brother comes to me with his broken iPhone 6 and busted the screen on it. You know, it's this beautiful new contraption he's got. I was like, well, I fixed Wendy's. I can fix this. And I open the thing up, and I destroy it. Like, it's like, okay, I'll fix the screen. And then it's like, man, this is a little bit more involved than just swapping Wendy's screen over. And then, like, the little fingerprint button thing, I totally ripped that button off. And the camera, fell out. And it was just a disaster. Well, I thought, you know, here's this really expensive thing that I've totally destroyed. I think I can still get some money for it, and it's worth $25 in its present condition. If it gets fixed, it's worth quite considerably more than that. And so I thought, it's worth taking it to someone to actually see if they can fix it. So I went into the store that says they can fix iPhones, and I said, here's a DIY disaster, and here's all that I did to it, and if you could fix it, that would be great. Now, if I went in there and I told them, I don't know what happened, some idiot, you know, was messing around with it, if I would have gone in and lied, they wouldn't have known what to go after and to fix. You have to tell the truth to know what needs to be fixed. I'm just going to get this out in preemptive. I was broken. And I was ready to quit. Was. Long before I knew how broken I was, I had asked the elders for time. Because I knew that I was burning out. And my wife had to shoulder most of the pain. And my children as well. Before the sabbatical, I reached out to Dan Johnson. And within the conversation, Dan encouraged me to speak to my elders back home in Kalkaska. And so I asked three guys to get together last week on July 15th. And I'm just going to mark that on my calendar the rest of my life. But I asked the three elders to come together, three men that literally I've known all my life. The one of them delivered me into this world. He was a doctor. it's Tim's uncle. And the others have just been men that are dear to me. Jeff Badra, who I shared at camp, and then my dear friend Mike Babcock. I asked them to meet with me. And before meeting with them, I knew, like, leading into it, I wanted to tell them everything because I really wanted to get my head on straight. But then just the day before, it was just like, you know, I don't know that I want to tell them everything. And then I realized just how stupid it would have been to call them together and not tell them what was wrong. I don't want to give you all the details of that conversation. But what I would like to say is that God reached into the depth of my heart through godly people. And in one quick word, the word control, it completely broke me and healed me. And I'd love to share more of the story with you. But it was one word that helped me see ministry in a new light. I'm a free man in Christ. And I'm a new minister today because I was willing to say what my hurts were, what my sins were. I was having panic attacks and anxiety, and I may have treated you far worse than you deserve to be treated. And so if I could have a big forgiveness blanket for about 3 or 4 months of my behavior, I would sincerely appreciate it. And the men gave me wise words as to how to conduct myself in a much more Christ-like manner. Friends, I was broken. And one word broke me even further. But Christ in His grace and His love, I believe 1 John is more true this day than I ever have. That God is willing to forgive, that He is willing to heal and bring help and restoration. And so I say all of this, and I want to be vulnerable with you for the simple fact to say that I know that we sin. I know that we want to stand together in Christ and fellowship with Him. But I know also the trouble that comes from sinning, from reckless life, from abandoning God's word and His commands. And so I would simply say that there is freedom and there is help and there is mercy from our wonderful God. And so for those who have yet to join a fellowship, hopefully a little bit of that exposes. We're not perfect. Christ is good and he's faithful. He's willing to help. And the other side of it would then be, friends, practice confession. If you need help, I think I'm finally ready to offer it to you. As a minister should. Helping you to trust fully in the Lord Christ for healing and strength. I'm not ready to quit. I'm ready to do good work with you for Christ and his kingdom. And I owe a deep debt of gratitude to the leadership. Because I'm sure they wanted to kick my butt a few times. And I deserved it. And they're gracious men. And thank you for the last month of just all the work that you all did. I'm ready to move forward with you. God revived my heart. And I'm ready to serve with you. And I would simply ask that you would walk in light together, that we would be a fellowship of believers who trust in Christ. If you're ready to join the church family, I kind of laid out a few things there. I'd love to talk to you more about it. And the elders would too, or whoever, maybe your neighbor wouldn't mind doing it as well. Friends, let's walk together in Christ. Walk faithfully with him. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. For the healing of your hand, reaching into the depths of our hearts, Lord, teaching us and molding us and shaping us. Father, if we sit here together, if we think for a moment that we are without sin, your scripture tells us we're liars. But God, if we are honest about ourselves, and honest about ourselves with others. God, if we confess, then we're opening and exposing ourselves to your grace and your mercy. God, the temptation is to hide and to stay in darkness, to isolate ourselves and to try and go about life pridefully on our own. God, it is a painful journey to live life outside of you, and outside of a life in the church. And so God, would you stir in our hearts together a desire to be a fellowship of one who stand together in Christ. And for those who have not made that commitment, God, we invite them to join our fellowship now. Broken, hurting as they are, to come and experience your healing grace and your mercy. God, the scriptures proclaim, and we proclaim with you, that you are the God of creation. And you have come, and we have seen, and we have heard, and we have felt your presence here with us. Through your Spirit, God, we trust in you, and we know that you are here with us. God, we want to walk faithfully for you. We want to walk in the light. We want to abide in your Son, Christ. Together. Make us a fellowship of the one true God. It's in your most wonderful name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us? Take my life and let it be consecrated. And
We have a couple, we have a lot of prayer concerns. Check the bulletin. Keep those people in your thoughts and prayers. We have an update from Adina. Baby Kenny Klotz is doing better, but he'll still need to have surgery before he can leave the hospital. Keep him in your prayers. And Jenny McAndrews is having some problems, having some tests. Keep her in your prayers. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Oh, one more. Okay, let's pray. Oh, sorry. Scott and Anna are leaving for Russia for 10 days?
Today.
Okay. Keep them in their prayers and their travels. Anything else? Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we have been able to come and worship you, sing songs of praise. We also thank you for taking the time and the effort to guide and direct Jordan, to renew him and his family. We thank you for them. And they needed time off so that they can continue to do your work. Be with the people that are sick and need your healing hand. Be with us this week as we go through life. Help us to keep your light shining. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.